Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. Going to start off a little different tonight. It is Thursday, May 6, 2021. Personal transformation can and does have global effects. As we go, so goes the world. For the world is us. The revolution that will save the world is ultimately a personal one.
Yeah. Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me?
Hey, hey, and hey. Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Welcome, namaste, hola, oki. Welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of your hosting duties live Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Holding down the other half of our hosting duties is my best friend, my dad, the Lions historian, Bill Green. I don't know if he's there. Are you there, Dad? Are you there? Mic check.
I hope so. I've been trying to get there all day, man. So hopefully
yeah,
I've arrived. Yeah, well, I'm taking it one day at a time. So, you know, so today is as far as I want to think. So I think I've gotten there, you know. I'm trying to get access to the chat room right now, and I'm not having much success. But that's okay.
Because I know that it's navigation, I think, can be different on the phone versus on the computer. I really haven't had a chance to navigate too much on the phone. So that's cool. Maybe you figure it out. You can give us a report next week just to let the listeners know how to navigate to the chat room on the phone. But I have a feeling you might figure it out. So
I'm trying to do it on the computer. Seeing the chat room right now. Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes I'm not seeing it anywhere, so I don't know what that means. I'm assuming you got it open, right?
Yeah. Are you logged in with your Blog Talk Radio account?
Yeah. Yeah. I see my icon and everything, you know. But anyway.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know, we took a week.
I might have lost the connection. So.
But anyway, sometimes, you know, the station can be a little, as we go. Yeah, the station can be a little fickle sometimes with new materials, new equipment. So just keep trying. So, you know, since you mentioned that, ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time experiencing the Greenhouse Effect radio show, we have different ways of engaging with you rather than you just listening to me and my dad kick off some knowledge and some stuff that most people don't really talk about, et cetera, et cetera, you know, showing our relationship, transparency, trippy moments, son and dad moments, all that stuff. So, you know, it's rather than just listening to us for the next 2 hours or so, you know, we have opportunity for you to jump in as well. Well, chat room is online. I see Adam is in the chat room. That's what's up. What's up, cuz? I ain't seen that name in a while.
Oh, man. Yeah, really?
So you can engage online with our chat room. I see, Dad, you're in there now. And you can access it with your free Blog Talk Radio account. Yeah, I see you in there.
Okay.
So you can access with your free Blog Talk Radio account.
Yeah,
in chat room. He
Adam,
found himself. I tell you, man, this show is worth it.
I found
it. It's
myself.
It, I'm
personal
you.
Transformation works.
Amen. Amen. Did you find Jesus, too?
Well, you know, one step at a time. I didn't know Jesus was lost.
Right.
Right on, man.
From this point on, if you choose to be so brave, you can also engage with us through the phone line as well. Our number here you can call in is 516-453-6094. Press 1 on your keypad. That will let me know, let me and Dad know that you'd like to come in. Your number will be in our queue, and we'll, you know, bring you in, identify you with your area code. So we have these options available for you. Yes, Adam, I am a work in progress myself, brother. I am a work in progress as well.
I'm a work in process.
You work in process or you work
in? I'm a work in process. Yes, not so much in process. Anyway, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. Don't let me throw you off.
No, no worries. No worries. So, you know, another reminder is to grab we like to remind everyone to grab a pen and paper, pencil and pad, whatever you got in front of you. I got a bunch of post-it notes and highlighters. I said the Highlander. You know what I'm thinking about, right, Dad?
I don't know what you're thinking about, but I know what I'm thinking about.
All right. I think we're thinking about the same thing. We're talking about a truck, ladies and gentlemen, a truck. So we like to remind everyone to grab something to write with. You might have some questions, and as you see, you know, we use 1,000 words because 100 words just won't do sometimes. So we
just
don't
want
you to forget any questions, you know.
Amen,
we don't want you to
man.
Forget anything. You might even pick up something as well. So maybe you might just want to make some notes for your own personal health and wellness, because that's one of the things we'd like to do here as well, talk about our own wellness mentally, spiritually, physically, and even financially, you know. So you might pick up something from these green boys tonight.
Yeah, right on. And medically. You know, but just so nobody feels like they were left out of an end joke, I'm in the process of purchasing a Toyota Highlander from Will's mom, you know, and so I'm excited about that. I've been without my own ride for 8 years, so the idea of having that element of freedom got me a little cranked. So y'all got to excuse me tonight if I get overjuiced between this Highlander and a new laptop computer. You know, I'm goofed. Talk about personal transformation. You know, I'm not sure I can stand it.
Sorry, I think the same maybe for the audience as well, but it's all good. But no, that's awesome. And you know, it's been a lot of changes, right? Already this year.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting year. These last, where we're in the quarter of the year.
Yeah, the first quarter has been a trip. Yeah, man. Yeah.
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 So that's what kind of prompt this show tonight. And taking last week off for me was really helpful. And just taking care of some other things around here. As I mentioned, spring cleaning and some other stuff. You've mentioned personal transformation. We're back again.
And let me just sneak one more thing in right quick, you know, in case, you know, our hundreds and thousands of callers, you know, hear noise in the background. How do you say it? There you go.
A million.
Oh, my man. You know, I'm broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Suites in downtown Plano, you know, in the process of moving. So so family might come in and out of my room here. So, you know, might hear some clamoring and all that. Just checking it, you know, they check on the old man and make sure he's doing all right. So anyway, I just wanted to sneak that in too, man. It's been a lot, you're right. It's been a lot of spring cleaning. It's been a lot of taking out the trash. Been a lot of shift and change, you know, and in many ways it all relates to tonight's lead topic. Let me step out the way, man.
No, you're right on the money. So, tonight, what we're looking at, what I'm hoping to do tonight, there's a few things that you've noticed the description of the show tonight. Just to let you know what we're looking at doing for, you know, what we want to talk about tonight. You know, identifying that we took a week off, and for me, there was some personal spring cleaning that happened. And I'm going to get into that, and I think Dad's going to talk a little bit as well. But within that spring cleaning, I felt there was a transformation, if you will, a personal transformation. And looking at these first 4 months of the year, things to what we've talked about previously on the shows, having intentions and goals. We were just talking about goals in the last episode and trying to execute, staying balanced, these sort of things. So doing this show again, it's kind of been a, you know, put up or shut up kind of feel for me sometimes, but not in a negative sense, not in a, oh, I have to do this because this is what I'm talking about. It's kind of things that just flow naturally, I think, for me and for us, as we keep doing these shows every week. And I know for me, it's always a learning experience. I mean, we've really ended up working on parts of our craft I think we forgot about, you know, at least for me anyway, when it comes to writing, presenting descriptions for the show, to having content available, and, you know, if things don't go well, being okay with it, not really getting upset about it that didn't go my way. So all these things is just a little example of things I've identified that I'm either attempted to change for the better these things. I've even applied some new ways of doing things. And there's still things that I have to work with as well. So, you know, don't get it twisted. Don't think that I'm coming on here like Osho and Buddha, and I've got these new found ways of life and things like that. As Adam said, it's still a work in process. Or Dad said process. Adam said progress. It's a progressing process, I guess.
There you go.
And so that's where
I
am, you know. And I thought that this was a good time to bring this up and to talk about this. Literally, just with the change of season, you know, and I'm getting ants, you know, in the kitchen, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's warm outside.
Right.
It's It's warm outside. People popping fireworks again. You know, there's people outside. And still we have COVID to deal with. You know, and still we have changes that are happening state to state, from voting rights to even like in Chicago, they got this vaccination passport they're going to start implementing in order for you to get into outside summer events. The city's saying like you have to have your passport in order to attend these events. You know, so there's so many different things that's changing and it's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is a good time to jump on that and talk about that.
Totally agree with you, man. I see Mamacita has made it to the chat room. All right. I understand.
I thought we talked about that.
We did. I went on and said it anyway.
I'm going to hear it later, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And I know better.
Yeah, you know. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm cranked, you know. Yeah man, outstanding. So, beautiful. Yeah, go on. Yeah, man. Outstanding. Mm-hmm.
Earlier at the beginning of the show, I read a quote. And if you all haven't seen the quote, it's in our event page on Facebook. And you made a good point of something with this quote that we were talking about. At the end of the quote, it says, "The revolution that will save the world is ultimately a personal one." We're talking about transformation. The greenhouse effect, how we affect other people around us. Our action can affect some other person and affect their actions to affect other people's actions. And it's always been about, for me, how we can help each other grow, how we can help each other live, you know, and provide a better world than what we have, you know, for our children, et cetera.
Amen.
So the end of the quote talks about, you know, to save the world. And you made a good point, Dad. It's like, yeah, you know, but I think that perhaps we need to look locally first before we start trying to save the world in one big swoop. And for me, you know, locally means my inner world, you know, the world right here where I live, for those that are immediately in my circle, you know.
Right on.
And those that are of my family may not, you know, but it just depends on how I prioritize my world and my circles. So we start locally, you know, and eventually we'll get to saving the world on this personal transformative revolution that I hope, you know, that I think we've been doing, you know, since we've been doing this show, really.
I agree. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Working more on this craft of ours with this show, this niche that we have. And again, from a personal moment, you know, this niche, if you will call it a niche or whatever, it's not a gimmick. You know, it's not something that's phony, and most of the time our best shows are ones that we don't even rehearse. But it's things that we don't see nowadays, where a black father and son can share their experiences and share them with other people so they can share their experience as well. And then again, we all just continue to grow. Everybody's growing. And doing these shows, you know, we talked about how much we learned. We always talk about how much we learned during election time, right? It's always something that we just pick up, like, I didn't know that.
But,
you know, how often do we get into some moments where we lose those opportunities to learn, you know, where our defense mechanisms automatically get thrown up. And sometimes it just happens and we don't even realize it. And we lose those opportunities to grow and eventually kind of transform at that time. Like, you know, we can do it again and stuff like that. Like, it can still happen. But there's so much that we're learning and continue to learn. And sometimes it's just, for me, it's just letting go, you know.
Which isn't as easy as it sounds. Yeah.
It's no.
Simple. You know,
we hear.
But not easy. Yeah.
No, we hear a lot of better motivating speakers and different people talk about letting go, and it sounds so easy. Mm-hmm. We read the books and stuff like that, but the application, and I think you mentioned that earlier, looking at our spring cleaning and looking, and while spring cleaning, looking at our inventory and looking at our personal inventory, having to go through this personal transformation of, you know, what do I need and what do I need to get rid of? This personal inventory, what do I need to throw out? What do I need to acknowledge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes
right
what are just some things I need to just let go, mm-hmm. you know, just take it out, and throw it away. I was pretty fortunate, so a lot of times there were things I had experienced, a lot of moments where I had to deal with flooding in basements. So a lot of times mm-hmm. I lost a lot of material things. So to me, I just chalked it up as, well, I just wasn't supposed to have it. So it was easy to let it go because I couldn't do nothing with it. You know, but it's like when I'm not dealing with the flood anymore. You know, and, mm-hmm. and literally when the house is just becoming just something to hold something else that doesn't even need to be here, you know, that spring cleaning and getting out, what did they say, getting rid of the old and bringing in the new?
Yeah.
Something like that. So
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
Out with
that's,
the old and within it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been kind of experiencing the last, you know, couple of weeks, really. I say the beginning of the week back in at the end of April. Yeah, at the end of April, things just seemed really heavy, and I just woke up and I felt good. I remember, I woke up feeling really good, like Monday. That last Monday of April, I woke up mm-hmm. feeling really good, but by the middle of the day, I was just really drained and just, you know, the outside seemed real dreary and it was just one of those gray days and I couldn't shake it. And I couldn't shake it till like Tuesday night, maybe kind of Tuesday, but it took a minute, you know, you got to take some time to get that off of you, you know, shake it off. And really not doing the show just helped me to continue that process of, I guess, what was needed to kind of mentally cleanse myself. Because by the time mm-hmm. Thursday came and we both agreed we weren't going to do the show, it was like the rest of the stuff or whatever it was, it just felt like it just came off of me. Is that, am I making a little sense to you? You follow me?
Well, you're trying to make sense out of a personal transformation that sounds clear to others, and that's all but impossible to do, or at least to know. You know, some things, depending on where everyone who you're speaking to is going to have a different effect on,
right.
you know, on the listening ear. You know, so whether it's making, you know, sense or not, it's neither here nor there. I understand English, so you're making sense. Now, does the transformational process make sense? No, it never makes sense, you know, because you're moving from the place known to the place unknown. And the question is always, why can't I just stay where I am? Well, you know, if that was the case, then how do we deal with growing old? You know, so we're, you know, it's like what you know, Carl Jung said, we're in a transformational process. Whether we know it or not, or whether we like it or not, you know, there's always the element of change happening. And our choice is either to observe or participate. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say. You know, sometimes an observation is not all that joyful. Sometimes it's downright painful, especially when the timing got ahead of my intention. You know, I didn't intend for this process to begin today. I woke up feeling great. How come I just can't feel great? What happened to take away my great feeling? What did I do? Well, therein how it starts. You know, it's people tend to cling to stability and comfort. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We want the path of least resistance, right? Maximize pleasure, minimize pain. But in this personal transformation process, you know, we're always required to step into a new setting, a new situation, you know, which in itself means, well, however I've done it, tends no longer to apply. So in many ways, even old relationships has to be renewed in order to keep pace with the process. And sometimes old relationships can't be renewed. And here goes another element that is scary in this process, right? You know, I mean, yeah. There's nothing comfortable about personal transformation. I think we experience personal transformation probably right in line with, you know, caterpillar to butterfly. That cocoon, man, you know, it, on the outside it may seem like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But on the inside, man, it's holy hell breaking loose.
Oh, let me out!
You know, or can I stay in? You know, but the thing is, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm outgrowing the element, the environment. Like, you know, I'm sure that, you know, I mean, I don't have memory of being in my mother's womb. You know, I mean, conscious memory, but there are elements of my life that suggest, oh, this is what I was experiencing when I was in the womb, and you know, and the breaking out, you know, happens whether I wanted it to or not. I was a 10-month baby. So there was something going on that suggested, I don't want to leave. But there was something else that was suggesting, oh, no, yeah, you're getting out of here. You know, so, you know, it, and so it is in life. You know, life's traumas, you know, off and on always require some type of commitment to, you know, transformation, to accepting the change of the element and the process of growth. You know, whether we know it or not, man, whether we like it or not, right? So I don't know if we can, you know, make sense out of it to someone else. All you can do is report, all we can do is report our personal experience, you know, and what that entails. I'm sure that everybody who's in the chat room right now has an idea, and every one of the millions who are listening in has some idea of what it feels like to change, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, the only question is, you know, is it random? Is it voluntary? Or is it necessary? So, you touched the topic close to my heart, man, so I took you off stride. I'm sorry. Go on, man. Jump on back in there.
Oh, man, we right on stride. It is. That's one thing I've really learned to do with you. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Let me get to begin. If you were within throwing distance, I'm not going to finish the sentence. Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. You never take me off stride. Never,
yeah, right on, man. Right on. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, but, you know, yeah. But, you know, go ahead and finish your where you were going, man. You know, so you're making sense.
Okay, yeah. So again, that's what we're looking at as far as our initial discussion. Again, we have the chat room and the phone lines open as well.
Right.
So again, personal transformation. So, you know, what some people might be asking, you know, what is personal transformation? So, the one of the definitions of personal transformation would state it's the task of challenging who you are and becoming the person you want to be. Now, I'm sure that there are other definitions as well, but this is the one I wanted to share on tonight's show. A task, changing who you are and becoming the person you want to be. And this month is acknowledged as Mental Health Awareness Month. Again, another reason why I thought this was a good moment to touch on this. Again, looking at where we are, taking personal inventory, looking at the quarter, the first quarter of the new year, the first 4 months.
Right.
Just really looking at where we are. So the task, challenging who you are, becoming the person you want to be. I feel that growth and transformation is important throughout. And these last couple of weeks, I've really had a chance to I think, kind of rediscover myself. And I've worked with what that really means. You know, I'm approaching 50 very quickly. But, you know, so there's some things that, you know, it kind of forces you to really take a slight retrospection of where I am, you know, where I've been, accomplishments,
yep,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the question, then the other question, that last year that really brought me to where I was last year at this time, and think about where we all were, where we all were last year at this time, still dealing with the early effects of COVID, still dealing with George Floyd, you know, that's about to come up soon, you know, and dealing with that wound again. You know, but looking at where I was last year, thinking back now, and one of the questions you always challenged me to think about and to look within myself was, how long have I been focused on myself? You know, how much time, approaching 50, or last year 49, coming on 50, and all these years of being here on this earth, you know, how much time have I really focused on myself? And last year, looking at where I was at last year, gave me that opportunity. And I realize now that last year really set up for where I am a year later. And again, these last couple of weeks, I think I've really had that opportunity to discover that. On the previous shows, we talked about goal settings, but we talked about balance as well. You know, you're working at the job, but you're working at the job, you're thinking about your family. You're with your family, and then you're thinking about your job. And you're not giving yourself time to find balance in something like that. But these last couple of weeks, I really have found some time to develop and see how to maintain balance. Now, again, this is still progress here. We're still working on it, processing it. But in this new journey that I've dealt with these last couple of weeks that brought me to today's show and what I wanted to talk about and have this moment of transparency, I really had a chance to discover a little bit more about myself and not be so caught up again in trying to make sure somebody hears me, you know, and you're like, what do you mean? So,
yeah, right.
You know, so a good example, Sue and I were working on a project and the short of the story here is that I used to get upset when I would offer a suggestion. I would offer a suggestion to something.
Right.
And somebody wouldn't listen. And then I would get upset because they didn't listen to my suggestion. You know, but instead I didn't realize that what my purpose was to be there to support them, not to tell them what to do, not to, you know, put on the cape and save the day, you know, but then I would be upset because I couldn't save this day. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
These things that I put on myself. So that's just a brief example, you know, of
good example
of how I'm starting to rediscover myself. You know, but then there's dealing with the resistance of it too. You know, I mean, taking time to self-reflect helps to deal with resistance. Okay, well, so what do you mean resistance, right? So I mentioned earlier trying to understand these defense mechanisms that we, inadvertently, for the most part, throw up. Don't even realize we're doing it. You know,
well,
we throw our hands up.
Yeah, that's the purpose of defense mechanisms. They're automatic reactions to something that we perceive or our egos perceive as threat.
Mm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
the purpose of it. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, what we perceive as
mm-hmm.
a threat. And that ends up resisting that growth or that new opportunity. Oh, no. Again, you just mentioned it. Are we observing or are we participating?
Yeah.
Are you just sitting there still staying in comfort and just being stable and just content with what you got, you know, or are you putting down the hands and dealing and letting go of the resistance and growing and acknowledging new opportunity? So even me just not getting upset because she didn't listen to this suggestion I made, you know, one of the projects we, and I sent you the picture, one of the projects we did working on the bathroom is turning out great, you know, and there's no
stress.
You
better believe it is. I'm not going to tell you what I said to my sis, but go ahead, you're doing fine. Yeah,
but
man.
Again, it's
yeah.
just it's just an automatic thing. Oh, you're not listening to me.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, you're not listening to my suggestion, and I would get upset. Then I started really just like, hold on, Will, slow down for a minute, man. You know, why are you getting upset? And then all of a sudden, I started thinking about other times when I got upset, when I felt like somebody wasn't listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, you know, you really want to press my button, you know, and I hear somebody repeat something I say. I'm like, that's not what I said. And I just, you know, just snap, man. And it's like, why won't you listen to me? And I don't know why, you know, I know that that's something that's still that work in process, progress or whatever that I'm trying to understand. But I acknowledge it now. I get it. You know, I'm starting to get it. So those hands won't get thrown up so quickly anymore. And I can take those hits of growth and new opportunities. Because otherwise I'll just be getting upset and then nothing would get done, you know, because I'm a Scorpio and I'm stinging everybody, you know. I'm like Nino Brown, everybody going down until I say you
Nino Brown. Most people don't have any idea who you just said. But, yeah, Nino Brown.
Oh,
there
man.
You go.
No, I hope
on,
so,
man.
I hope I think most of our listening audience know who Nino Brown is. But if you don't know who Nino Brown is, check out a flick called New Jack City, a movie called New Jack City. This was in the 1990s movement of black movies in Hollywood. So, great soundtrack. Good 90s music. New Jack City with what's that brother? I'm thinking of every movie he's been in and the character, but not his own name. Wesley Snipes. Yeah, thank you. Wesley Snipes.
Sorry, Nino Brown. I didn't even know I was muted. I'm yelling, Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm muted. Thank you.
So that's just a brief example of a couple of things.
That movie really had a great cast all the way around. But there's one thing about that movie, you know, right quick, you know, it gave a pretty accurate historical perspective of how crack, you know, became popular in the hood. You know, I mean, if one could sidestep the violence and the themes of, you know, cultural dysfunction as depicted on the screen, you know, there was a couple of nuggets of accuracy, you know, and what gave, you know, so much power to the use of crack cocaine. You know, a lot of people don't even understand crack is cocaine. You know, people want to make it something else. No, it's cocaine. But anyway, yeah, that movie had a lot to offer in many different levels, man, many different levels. But anyway,
I would be surprised if New Jack City falls along the. Well, I mean, you know, hey, stranger things have happened nowadays, so I'm not even going to go there. But you're right.
Stranger things will continue to happen, especially where it involves black folk. You know, and we're still a culture in process. You know, we're still trying to figure it out. You know, but anyway. Another topic for another show, right?
Well, that's the, you know, maybe that's the part of the cocoon we're still dealing with. What I say, we're in the fire before
Amen.
Rising from the ashes.
I love that, man. Yeah, you haven't said that in a minute. Yeah, man.
So that's how I've been feeling lately. So personal growth, again, for the last couple of weeks, you know, why are you talking about this? And what is about personal transformation that you, you know, bringing tonight? And again, for me, being transparent and open, the journey that I've been started a long time ago, but what I've really noticed the change and accepting growth and rediscovering myself and dealing with that resistance or challenges. If you don't want to say resistance, I like to say challenge, you know, whatever floats your boat. You know, but also I have intentions on discovering a sense of purpose. A little bit in our talking of goals and things like that. And in other shows, too, we've talked about trying to figure out our why. And I mentioned earlier that there is a why we do this show on Thursdays while you do your virtual classes on Saturdays. You know, so there is a purpose and a why behind it. But I think this is something that still is being constantly is transforming right in front of our eyes. A lot of times this show has its moments of just transforming right in the middle of the show. We didn't even know what it was going to do what it did, you know, but it became something more than what we even realized.
You suggested earlier that, you know, I mean, you didn't say it with any intention behind it, but just as you were talking earlier, you said sometimes our best shows are the ones we don't rehearse. But I just wanted to let everybody know we never rehearse. You know, sometimes we have 10 minutes before the show, but sometimes that 10 minutes is spent with us dealing with our own issues with each other. And then the show comes up like, hey, what's up? What's up? But we've never really, I don't think, ever really have had time to rehearse. You know, we'll process at the end. You know, but anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. Now we hardly, if ever, have a clear understanding of where these next couple hours are going to go, right?
Yeah, you know, we occasionally have outlines
we have our script, but we don't know where the energy is going to take us, right? From moment to moment,
right.
Sentence to sentence, like right now. You know, I mean, I'm totally off script right now. You know, so.
Yeah.
I love it, though, man. You know, I don't know. I feel, you know, it's surreal in so many ways, but a blessing in so many others, you know, to be doing something like this, you know, with my oldest son, you know, it could be with either one of my three guys, but it's with my oldest son, who out of the three I've known the longest, you know, and that's what, you know, just makes it so powerful for me, you know, man. Such an honor, you know, that you would partake in something like this with me. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't even know how to say it any more than how I've already said it. And your willingness to deal with so many of the cultural exchanges that we get into that differentiates us, but also binds us, you know, as different as our value expressions may be, you know, we're still binded by, you know, cultural reference and respect for each other's stance in life along the way, whether we agree with each other or not. I think that's the part that I benefit the most from, the fact that you can challenge me without cussing me out, and you can question me without it turning into an argument, and we can debate differences as appreciation and not as conflict, you know, and the degrees, I don't even know if there's an element of being adversarial that's left between us anymore. You know, it's as if in our own individuation, we've come to appreciate the role that each plays for the other. At least that's how I experience it, you know, and when I can appreciate, you know, one's role in my life, like I appreciate yours, there's no room, you know, to be adversarial. It's so much of a compliment, man. So thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this with you. It's just an amazing thing. Yeah, I'm so thankful for.
Yeah, and again, it's doing something, just this as an example. Because there's other things that we're doing as well. But, I mean, of course, it's easy to talk about it because we're doing it live. We're in front of, we have an audience. We're sharing. We're being open,
transparent.
Millions. The millions, you know, that are out there. So it kind of, it's a good force, you know, but it makes us question, you know, like, why? Why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just a something to pass the time or a hobby or anything like that, but it's just trying to figure out the why or where we can go with it, how we're adapting. Mm-hmm. Again, as I mentioned, what was that I said in the description of the show? Towards the end of the description, I talk about education because Biden talked some plans for education in America. But in this world, in this changing COVID virtual learning world that's changing right in front of us, just like when we do this show and we have intentions on it coming out one way, but it changes into something else sometimes. And it happens even out here with us every day. You know, Johnson & Johnson is off the shelf. Oh, no, it's back on the shelf again. Okay, so this city is going to start segregating people who are not fully vaccinated. You know, so what is that? What kind of impact does that have? You know, so these changes that are happening, you know, and what does it mean to us? How do we deal with it? How does it affect us? And again, especially now because this is Mental Health Awareness Month, but, and again, this is, it just all kind of just comes together and people call it a coincidence, but, you know, we know it's more than that.
You know, mental health, you know, is going on every month, whether we designate a particular month or not,
every month.
And the unfortunate truth of that is that we learn no more, you know, this month than we did last year at this time, you know. So I struggle with the idea of Mental Health Month being treated like Black History Month. You know, what happens to the other 11? We fix everything in this designated time. We become aware in this designated time. We raise our level of consciousness, you know, in this, you know, this particular stretch of time, or do we use it as a carryover, you know, to dig deeper into that, just like Black History Month, you know, taking advantage of the awareness as it's brought out there, but using it as the fuel to study and explore and attempt to understand on a deeper level and not just entertain a given moment. You know, I mean, mental health is still an elusive topic, you know, that a month doesn't give much justice to. You know, like, even when we say Mental Health Month, I hope that each of our shows for the rest of this month will focus at some point on the ongoing issues of mental health, especially as it impacts in the Black community, you know, the broad range of the Black community, you know, not just, you know, the hood, you know, not just the socially, economically impoverished, you know, but the growing edge of that middle class as well. You know, I mean, man, it's there's no escaping, you know, its far reaching impacts in the Black psyche as America does America's thing, you know, periodically as it attempts to shift its own image. Like, we just moved out of an era of Trump into an era of Biden. You know, and Trump entered an era right after Obama, you know, who entered an era right after Bush. And how much has all of that helped create a healthier self-image in the Black community? I would venture to say none of them. I mean, yeah, we got a little thrill from a Black president, but, you know, when after the thrill settled, after the thrill was gone, we were still pawns in Congress regardless. And to show how much Congress appreciated the fact that we hired a Black man to be president for 8 years, the same Congress and the same people turned around and said, hey, you know, let's bring in Trump. That really complements the 8 years Obama was in office, right? So anyway, man, not to turn this into a political platform. The point you're raising, you know, and the impact and effect of them all, you know, cannot be escaped when it comes to the black psyche, man. It's mental health, man. I mean, we're talking about the mental stability of black people as dictated and defined and treated by a white model that has never included, you know, an exclusive black study of what it means to be black in America. Not today, you know, but from its inception. You know, I mean, like, you know, we're homegrown. And I don't think people, I mean, yeah, I can dig, you know, the motherland and, you know, back to Africa. But, you know, the generations of those that have preceded, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, are as native to America as the indigenous tribes of this country. And in many ways treated the same way. Yeah, so it's a tremendous impact, you know, on the psyche of black America. And I said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again, you know. It's a functional schizophrenia. And it's a matter of understanding and what it means to be schizophrenic. And then how in the world can a culture function in that theme of a mis or undiagnosed dynamic? But we do, and we have, and we continue to. But it's taking its toll on us, man. You know, no stretch and doubt about that. Whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. And the theme of personal transformation, we can't get away from the influence of this functional schizophrenia as we're trying in this country, you know, to transform. You know, we're still carrying the misdiagnosis along with us. You know, so anyway, I'm not going to keep beating that horse, you know, man. There I go again, right?
Well, I can keep beating it and throw it back at you because that kind of brings me to something that I wanted you to talk a little bit about. We're talking about personal transformation,
mm-hmm.
and we just mentioned inventory. A personal inventory, yeah. Or inventory taking, and if you don't mind, just, you know, what does that mean, especially with dealing with such a schizophrenic setup? How to identify, or what does that mean, inventory taking?
Well, it's
and I know that it can be. I know it can be individual meaning. You know, that it can be different for everybody.
Well, it is going to be anyway, but that's neither here nor there, because in the differences we also find the complement. So, you know, that's a given. But as you put it right from the start, we're talking about personal transformation. You know, so the inventory is found in the transformational process. You know, what is it that I have? It's just like doing inventory at a, you know, at a department store. You know, it's what goods do I have that seem to move well? You know, what goods do I have that don't seem to move at all? Do I have too much of this which doesn't sell? And do I have enough of this which does? But what about the unaccountable things? What about the things lost? What about the things given away? What about, you know, the other parts of the inventory that are mislabeled or misplaced, you know? So the personal inventory requires an equal balancing, you know, of that which I have stored. So for everything that I find that I might have issues with, I need to find the complement of that I embrace. For everything that I find is missing, I need to identify what is it that I would call that piece that's missing. You know, it's that personal inventory is like checks and balances that requires a clear cyclic understanding, you know, cyclical understanding of, you know, that which I value, that which I don't value, and that which I treat as if I do value, you know, and understanding then why do I do that? You've even made mentions of that before. You know, we give things like arguing or losing our temper. You know, a lot of times we give it a negative spin, and we miss the positive element of the negative spin. There is a reason why I lose my temper, and it's up to me to evaluate that reason why. You know, it's up to me to do that. you know, it's not up to other people to, you know, who have fallen, you know, victim to the sting, as you put it, to give me their opinion, you know, of my bursts of anger. But it's up to me in the evaluation or inventory taking to understand, where does that come from? It's not a matter of trying to anticipate it before it happens. That's like trying to dictate my dreams before I even go to sleep. It's a matter of recognizing that it comes somewhere from me, and it wouldn't come from me unless it's something that is trying to show or teach me. The personal transformational process is steps toward becoming self-actualized. Does self-actualization mean complete and thorough and total understanding of myself? Not really. You know, what it means is that when I've become self-actualized, I recognize, wow, I'm a human being. Not a dog, not a cat, not a bird, but a human being. You know, and therefore that means there's intent and purpose in this. Am I consistent with the inventory that I understand about myself? And is it consistent with the personal growth that I seek? You know, I'm in my imperfections, I'm perfectly made. You know, in my imperfections, I'm perfectly made. You know? So in first accepting that, that gives me an edge on anybody else's behavior and how anybody else's behavior then in turn affects me. When I can, you know, accept that I am imperfectly, perfectly made, then all my actions and reactions make sense. Doesn't mean that I like them, doesn't mean that I embrace them, but it means it makes sense because it fits within my inventory, that which I can identify where and how and for what reason it comes from me when it does. You talked about it earlier. The things that used to bend you out of shape are the things that you learn to embrace. Doesn't mean that you learn to embrace them and say, I can still get bent out of shape, so what? Ha ha, tough break. No, quite the opposite. You know, there's a tremendous understanding that it took to arrive to that place of acceptance. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But right. That does mean that having accepted it, now I have a foundation of understanding that I can talk from. Nothing confuses me more than that element of me that seems to only come to life after I've latched onto or found the kind of relationships that bring me joy. Why is it the joyful relationships that cause me the most self-deprecating moments? Why is it in the relationships that I draw to me that I really appreciate that I find my most frustrating behaviors? You know, why would I say I do to somebody just to find out, you know, I won't any longer? You know, how does love turn to divorce? You know, not hate, but how does love turn to divorce? Because, you know, like, I really believe that if it's really love, if love is really the element that draws me to somebody, that doesn't go away. You know, it's just the relationship is redefined and goes in another direction. You know, so this thing that you raise is near and dear to me. I mean, like, I'm one who, after, 34 years of trying to figure out who I, you know, was becoming, you know, I wound up in alcoholism treatment program. Well, what a surprise. That wasn't my intention. My goal wasn't to be an alcoholic, but every way that I dealt with life strongly indicated that was the direction I was heading. You know, but there's this one thing that gets in the way. You talked about it earlier. There's no more powerful of a defense mechanism, man, than denial. You know, the inability or refusal to accept the obvious. You know, and so once having accepted that, then comes the great challenge of what to do about it. You know, mental health, addictive behaviors, however you want to align it or define it, is in its best form a symptom of a greater problem. And the hardest thing to decide, you know, is something I read not too long ago. It's like, in order for me to even begin to try and offer you a cure are you willing to let go of what makes you sick? You know, and there in itself lies the greatest struggle, that only these addictive behaviors, you know, are the symptoms of what needs to be let go of, but it's not in itself the problem. The problem is, why did they develop in the first place? You know, there's so many of us who seek outside of ourselves a better understanding of what's going on inside of ourselves, when our insides are perfectly capable of taking care of the confusions that confront us in life. Some people would even, some professionals would even argue, excuse me, some professionals in the mental health arena would even argue that there really isn't a chemical imbalance in the brain that causes mental dysfunctions, that the brain is perfectly made. You know, it's sometimes what happens is that the wiring gets crossed, or, you know, the responses as dictated from the outside, you know, causes, you know, some type of trauma, a traumatic reaction that becomes a learned behavior. You know, that's what some would suggest, you know, and then others would suggest, yeah, that might be true, but let's just throw some drugs at it. You know, let's tamper with the working functions of the brain as it is anyway, and let's confuse it a little bit more by, you know, trying to get the brain to produce more of or less of a desired effect to help fix what's wrong. You know, until, of course, what happens is a new addiction or a new addictive behavior sets in, where we can't function without the prescribed medication. It's so American, man. It's so American. You know, when in fact, so often, all we need to do is recognize the themes of society that we're contending with and its own denial. That would make it so much easier to identify the issues that I'm struggling with, finding how to use or not use to help me cope. You know, we're talking about a society that has denied its own definition. It provides us with a fascinating dream about what it says it wants to be, and it tries to tell us that that is who it is, but yet and still, you know, it does things like call me a minority. You know, what the hell good does that do for my psyche that's trying to be healthy, to be living in a democratic society, and to be called something lesser than a greater whole, which is a minority? What good does it do to live in a society where I've taught myself how to ignore or otherwise deny or just become totally insensitive to the plights of my red brothers and sisters, you know, as if they were just, you know, something that just came along and was inconvenient to the development of white American values? Yeah, and we're talking about only, you know, a few hundred years. We're not talking about something that is old as Hebrew Africa or Greek mythology. You know, we're talking about something that's American tragedy, man. So anyway, you know, all I know is that when I came out of treatment, you know, for my alcoholism, the world didn't roll over and play dead and say, good, now that you stopped drinking, now we can get on with your transformational process, dude, because you got a lot of shit to work on. Excuse my language. It's like, you know, the Lord was saying all along, man, I've been trying to tell you that, you know, no problem is so great that drinking can't make a little worse, but you had to do your own field research. You know, so, you know, we here, you know, we ain't never gone anywhere. You know, matter of fact, you know, for 40 years, you know, we've been here, you know, every day to lay proof, you know, for 40 years, one day at a time, of your, you know, newfound value to American society. Whether you can appreciate it or not doesn't change, you know, the chronological timeline, you know, and that's proof of how we've been here waiting, you know, to give you the strength you need so that, you know, you don't have to re-experience the fact that no problem is so great that drinking can't make a little worse. You know, instead, now you get a chance to recognize no problem is so great that 24 hours cannot handle. And all you got to do is stay within that 24-hour time frame, and you'll do just fine. It's a trip, man. So anyway, you know, again, there I go.
All right, so I knew this was going to, you know, get you going. But that was the whole intention. Intent and purpose.
My man, but, my man. Yeah, I love you, man.
I love you, too. But yes, you know, earlier this week, as we were getting ready for the show and talking and checking on each other, one of the things that you mentioned, and I wrote it down, and I wanted to share it with tonight and talk about what we're talking about, especially just we as Black Americans, because that's what we know. You said that we're just either living an addictive behavior or living the one that's in recovery. Now, I know I didn't say it correctly, but you know, it's we're living the life of the addict or the one in recovery. And that just listening to what you were talking about reminded me of that. Black America. I think that's what we were talking about. I want to make sure that I'm correct. And looking at that, talking about that, and you mentioned your 40 years coming up. Is it step 10 in the 12 program that talks about personal inventory? Is that correct?
Well, no. Let's see how we can do this. There's a time that it's a sequence of action. The first, obviously, is admitting that, you know, we're powerless over our addictive behaviors and that it has rendered our lives, you know, unmanageable. That's the first great hurdle, you know, whatever it is, you know, that, and somebody would say, well, what do you mean? Well, that which is supposed to bring me pleasure in the end only brings me pain, you know, that's something I'm powerless over. And the fact that I continue to do it renders, you know, a sense of hopelessness. Like then what, how else do I then function with life? Is it, if where I turn is supposed to bring me pleasure and it brings me pain? Well, that's powerlessness and unmanageability. So that's like the first step, recognizing that, admitting that, you know, admitting that. I mean, that's the beauty about what I love about AA, you know, in the forward to the first edition, it doesn't talk about drinking. It talks about a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. You know, that's the result of, you know, uncontrolled drinking. And uncontrolled drinking doesn't mean a daily thing. It could mean a periodic thing. It could be what we call a binge moment that goes for days, you know, a binge moment. Hey, baby, I'm just going out to have a couple beers with the friends and hope I make it home by Christmas. That kind of thing, you know. You know, and then, the, you know, and then, the, you know, the second step is coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Well, what am I talking about? You mentioned it earlier. You know, whenever I lose my temper, that's a momentary insanity because I'm at a place that I don't want to be. I'm at a place where I don't like. I'm at a place where nobody really wants to be around me. You know, and that's right. Just not me. That's anybody, you know, who enters into that realm of anger. You know, it's, you know, like, you know, that hostile anger, you know. So at that moment, you know, it's insane behavior. For however long it lasts, you know, a few seconds, it doesn't matter. And I can stay there forever until I can find that source within myself that says, no, you know, I believe in something greater than this anger now. So I don't have to stay here any longer now that I recognize it. Time to, you know, put the curb to it. You know, but it's those two are the requirement to the next one, which is, you know, making a decision. You know, man, nothing is more difficult than for someone who's, you know, addicted to a behavior to make a decision to turn their life and their will over to the care of their creator, who I call God, as they understand God. If your God is a healing God, then, you know, healing can be found. If your God is a punishing God, then punishment's going to be found. You know, if your God is a merciful God, then mercy will be found. So it has to be the God of your understanding is what that life is going to be turned over to. You know, mine initially was a very punitive God. And I had to learn, well, that was misteaching. So I had to understand not the relationship that I had with the teachings of God, but I had to understand the relationship that had developed between me and God. And I had to be okay with accepting that, regardless of what how people misconstrued it in their teaching, what came through, you know, was loving kindness. So then, and only then, those first three steps are not action steps. they're foundation steps. It's the fourth step that deals with what you're asking about. You know, I made it after making the decision. You know, I decided to take a fearless and searching moral inventory of myself. You know, so a fearless and searching moral inventory doesn't mean just going down there into the pits of hell with a shovel and a pick and a miner's lamp on it to dig out all the gruesome, nasty crap about me. You know, no, it means to discover those pearls, you know, and those nuggets of gold. And for everything that I found dark and dastardly and nasty, the only way I could have found it, because it was a compliment to it. For everything I find negative about myself, it can only be found as negative because there's a positive. So if I find a negative, I have to also continue to look for the positive. You know, that's a fearless and searching moral inventory. And for that matter, if I'm going to claim the positive, I have to recognize in my own inventory taken the negative. You know, and I look, one thing that I've learned, life doesn't lie, you know. So if life doesn't lie, and if I'm only as sick as my secrets, then there's no getting around the fact that I know my truth when I hear it. I know my truth when I see it. I know my truth when I speak it. And I know my truth when I don't. You know, I know my truth. So for every lie, there's a truth, and for every truth, there's a lie. You know, and that's, you know, what it means to be wired like I am. So that fourth step, you know, what you're talking about in the tenth step is to continue to take personal inventory. Actually, it's not even the tenth, you know. Well, yeah, it is. You know, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. You know, it's a sequence. Well, that's not really the tenth. That's really the ninth. But it's a sequence of action that doesn't mean anything when I get to a place of whenever I'm wrong to promptly admit it if I haven't recognized my shortcomings and my character defects. See, it's in recognizing my character defects and my shortcomings, that's where my ego goes to die, you know. And it, through ego death, you know, spiritual awareness is reborn, or what you called earlier, that personal transformation. Now I'm giving, you know, life to death. You know, my ego is dying to the negative so it can be born in the positive. You know, our decisions are only as healthy as our ego. Healthy egos make healthy decisions, right? And in turn...
You mean there's a healthy ego?
yeah, man. But, ego? You know, again, it gets negative right. Props all the time. What is it? Yeah. Is it a negative ego that tells me, man, dude, you need to go wash under your arms, man? Or is it a healthy ego that tells me that? You know, is it a negative ego that says, you know, Bill, it's really okay to change your drawers? You know, or is it a positive ego that tells me that?
Yes.
Well, you know, there it is.
Yeah,
you know, so a healthy ego makes healthy decisions. You know, a healthy ego says, you know, I don't have to take this abuse any longer. Whether it's in a relationship, in a job, whatever it is, you know, a healthy ego says, you know, I don't really need, this is done all it can do for me, you know. But an unhealthy ego says, you know, no, you know, I can't do any better than this, regardless of the pain. This is my station in life. And so an unhealthy ego then will do unhealthy things, you know, and sometimes those unhealthy things are self-destructive, right? You know,
yeah.
So... you know, a matter of coming to grips with that. Now, the hardest step to me, though, is the fifth one, after the fourth. And I'm not going to go through all 12. I'm going to stop here. The fifth one, you know, admitted to God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. You know, I'm cool with admitting to God, and I'm all right with admitting it to myself, but I got to talk to somebody else about it.
Somebody else?
You know, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
And there comes the flypaper effect. I'm talking that talk, but I ain't walking that walk, you know. And after the fourth step, we can be real good at talking that talk, man, you know. But it's when I'm getting down to the brass tacks and I find that confessor or confessors, you know, where I can talk about all that stuff, all the stuff, that I dug out of that cellar of personal inventory, now I'm cooking. You know, now I'm on my way to personal transformation. Until then, it's just the stutter stuff, man. You know, it's just talking the talk.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. That's why I wanted to make sure I had it right. But I knew that there was something in regards to identifying personal inventory and understanding what triggers, I guess, that can have somebody return
triggers,
to,
yeah.
you know, the
yeah,
addictive
triggers.
Behavior.
Yeah, triggers are unique in itself because it's people, places, and things. You know, not people, places, or things. It's people, places, and things. You know, those are the potential triggers, you know, at any given time. You know, I may dodge the bullet of person, but I get sucked into the place. Or I may dodge the person or the place, but I get sucked into the thing or things. You know, so it's a matter of understanding, you know, that all three work in concert. People, places, and things, man. You know, that's the element. Now, and think about it from the perspective of American society. This, as you have pointed out many times in past shows, this is a capital-driven society. You know, I mean, everything is run by money. So, you know, that means I have to redefine myself, you know, in a capitalistic way, but find myself in non-capitalistic reward. And that's very difficult to do in America, man. You know, I mean, even finding God requires, you know, some kind of financial commitment. If I'm for real, you know, there's a whole lot of people that tell you you ain't for real. You know, if, you know, you ain't giving God his 10%. You know, like God is, you know, like some kind of, you know, spiritual agent that gets his cut.
With accounting advisor picking the numbers,
you know,
on the 10-digit there.
And it takes a lot of biblical study to really get a clear understanding of Old Testament tithing as applied to, you know, mega church, you know, teaching. You know, it's you know, man, you know what, one thing that I don't do enough of that I'm going to rededicate myself to doing more of, you know, and that's, you know, ties into the homeless or the poor or the urchin in the street who's asking for a buck. You know, that's where I want my ties to go, you know, to where and in doing it, remembering to ask those that I do it with, you know, when I let down that window to keep that door locked, you know, tell you I trusted in faith, right? You know, or make sure that they're on the other side of the car, whatever. You know, no, I'm being facetious, but you know, to ask them, you know, I mean, because you know they're almost always quick to, oh, thank you, and it's like, yeah, oh, that's good. But look, do me a favor, you know, pray for me, you know, and pray for me that this which, you know, I'm handing over to you is really done in the auspices or in the intention of charity, you know, really done through love, you know, and not expectation, you know. And I think too much tithing is done with expectation. I gave that, so I should get this, and, you know, and that's fine. You know, we are, you know, you said it earlier, you know, with this transformational process, you know, as global as it may be, as local as it needs to be, you know, it's still me doing me, right? Isn't that what you were saying earlier?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So anyway, man, let me back off. Let me put on the brakes a little bit, man, let you get back in the front.
I love that, you know, and I feel the same way when it comes to tithing and trying, when I have something to give to somebody who just isn't as fortunate as I am at that time, with the intention, you know, of this expression of love. I know some people listening will be like, well, what you mean pray for you? Because most of them, they're cheats anyway. They make good money off of doing that. Some of them aren't even homeless. And some of them, you know, they just getting over. But, you know, and I think with that's where therein lies the rub, as you say, Dad, in dealing with personal transformation, I think. You know, when we get into that, that changed the whole dynamic. What's up?
I was just going to say, look here, you know, in a capitalistic society, I can justify all I want to justify by not turning over that buck to somebody who's out there doing that hard hustle. And I can say all that good stuff about they just getting over with that hard hustle. But if I got that money in my pocket, that means I've been getting over too. Because this ain't nothing but a pimp society we live in, man. You know, everybody's stepping over somebody to get ahead. You know, that's a pimp society, man. You know, and that's a capitalistic society early ingrained, you know, teaches that, man. You know, I mean, we thrive on things, you know, and we try to justify them as reward. I'm not finding fault or casting dispersions or making judgments. You know, it's nothing but, you know, personal transformation. It's me doing me. And in part of me doing me is recognizing how what I observe affects me, you know, and it's got everything. I know people say don't hate, don't judge, but everything is about judging. We're always comparing. We're always comparing.
Oh, my God. For a long time, I used to think I don't judge people. I don't do,
right.
Man, shoot.
You know, the first time I think I'm right in an argument with you, I just judged you as being wrong.
Those judgments, man. But, you know,
Man.
Like I say, with that, you know, and that tithing and giving, because really, yeah, I think some people define that as success in being able to give to others. And
therefore,
we talk
it.
And what are we talking about, you know, this morning? You know, that's part of that foundation, you know, the intent, that purpose of giving, the intent of
love. And that's great.
Love,
and that is success. Yeah. And if that's my scope of my measurement of myself, and if it's consistent with my attitudes and behaviors, absolutely. No question about it. You know, no question about it. But I tell you what, along the way, I also better be well equipped to be able to judge myself also, you know, because if I'm not well equipped to judge myself, there's a greater judgment waiting. Yeah.
Ooh.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance to work out my salvation with, you know, fear and trembling, you know, or I can leave it up to my creator. Ooh. You know, like, anyway, man, I'm getting ready to start, you know. Let me back up. Yeah, man. I love this topic,
you know,
man.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, this was, you know, some things that I felt that Dad and I could talk about tonight that I wanted to share some of my transparent moments. And I feel like, you know, this is some type of something that's happening. And a few shows I've talked about horoscopes and retrogrades and moons and Pluto and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, you know, it's been a lot of numbers. I've been noticing a lot of numbers, and I'm not intentionally doing it. It's another coincidence, right? But like yesterday, you know, Cinco de Mayo, and I didn't put that. I was going to talk about Cinco de Mayo, but anyway, yesterday, you know, the 5th, May 5th, 5/5/2021, you know, 2021, that's 5 in numerology.
Mm-hmm.
So you got 5/5/5.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling it yesterday. Like I'm not saying like I was sitting here and I got the glow and stuff like that, but I was really receiving some energy. And there's some things, and if you meditate or if you pray, you know, if you take these moments of affirmation or if you take those moments of honoring the passing of the day, all these things that Dad and I have been talking about for almost a year now, there's going to be moments where things are going to happen without your explanation. You call it a coincidence or whatever. But yesterday, you know, being this May 5th, 2021, we've talked about angel numbers and we've talked about 1111 That's always a popular one. But if I can, I wanted to just share something that we can get back in the spring cleaning
Amen.
And stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. Please do. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me ramble on.
You know, I'm sure that, well, anyway, I'm not going to do that. I was
there
about
you
to
go.
Start.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Keep right on moving.
Oh, my goodness.
Just keep
there's
right
something
on
else that I'm going to get to with that.
That's another story for another time.
No, we're going to get to it. But yesterday, 555. So it says that when you see this 555, this, you can look it up for like numerology or angel number. So I'll share with the simple terms here. That means that something major, life-changing, is heading your way. Your specific angel guides want to be present in your life as you take on whatever is coming next. When you start to see 555, this is your signal to pay attention. And I really feel like that this really is the time now for us to pay attention and to see these changes that are happening and finding ways to hopefully be able to change with the society that's changing and not staying complacent, you know, or staying in an addictive behavior, but trying to come out of these addictive behaviors that we sometimes unconsciously get stuck in, and just learning how to grow out of it and learning how to become a person of the recovery and not someone still stuck in something that doesn't help us or our family or whatever.
Right on.
So another part of 555. So they say that this is real metaphysical here. The 555 energy portal opens. This triple number, 5, month, day, and year, is your confirmation that the ascended masters are near you to guide you through important changes. The next 5 months will bring you growth, abundance, and expansion. And on Facebook the other day, I was like, magic is happening. And I didn't know that this thing said it. And at the end of this one quote I just read, it said, expect magic. And that, you know, that's another coincidence. You know, I didn't expect the word magic, but that's what it feels like. And I guess that's the easiest thing to put. So, again, I just wanted to share this moment because I'm feeling it. You know, I feel these moments of retrograde. And I feel it when, you know, now that the sun is coming out, we see the sun more because those last few moments before the spring equinox, man, it was no sun. It sucked. You know, it was really gloomy and grim,
for
you know,
some.
But, you know.
For some.
But for some, yeah. But for us, it was cool because we were doing the show. But still. But I just wanted to share that, you know, and this is all a part of my mental health awareness for me. This is all a part of my own personal transformation. And I'm starting this, identifying this transformation. Again, this is all, you know, the things, again, that I wanted to share with you all. And I'm glad you're sharing as much as you can as well. Again, I know you're coming to us from a remote location. You know, you're a traveling journalist tonight, you know, so, you know.
Thank you, traveling journalist. I like that.
You know, so I know that.
Sounds like I'm really full of myself, don't it? Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm
traveling journalist. I ain't disagreeing, though, am I? I didn't become Joe Toe in the sand. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I like that. Traveling journalist, right on.
Traveling journalist. Wait till you get your truck, man. You're really going to be doing it.
Oh, man, I'm going to be dangerous, dude.
So, yeah, you know, changing times, change is constantly happening. Education,
constantly.
You know, and we're not going to really, get into education tonight. And, Dad, I'm glad you talked to me off of that, trying to get through a lot of things tonight. But I'll talk more about, you know, Biden's points, but I know it talks about adding some additional years. It outlined a different strategy of education from early childhood to free community colleges. classes in community colleges. But,
yeah,
you know, we're
good.
Approaching the
all
summer.
That's great.
Yeah, all that's great. You know, all that's great. But I'll tell you, you know, I know, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about education, I really want to get into it. And I really, you know, we're going to look at the history of education in America and how it's affected or how we haven't reaped those benefits as Black Americans. The struggles that we've had to deal with that way. And fast forwarding to, you know, even like Manifest Destiny, like you broke down Manifest Destiny and looking at how Manifest Destiny to this day we're still dealing with. And even with education, America is great. Biden's plan sounds good, you know, free education in college and stuff like that. And hopefully people will start building, you know, getting trades again and things like that. But there's still there's still changes that need to occur. There's still things that we need to learn and grow. Virtual learning, you know, I know we're going to talk about that. The summer is approaching, and a lot of schools are going to be out for the summer, and then we're dealing with the summer slide, as they call it, where you lose about 10 to 15% of the skills that children acquire through a regular school year. You know, what do we do about that? So I've got my own opinion. You know, I think school should be year long. But we'll get more into that and through the coming weeks, because I know that this
I got my own opinion about it too. Yeah, right on.
Yeah. And I want to hear from you all as well. You know,
absolutely.
You know, what are your you know, what are you all thoughts about the future of education in America? For some of you that still have children in the education system, you know, in high school or elementary school, grammar school, and even in college, you know, or just getting out of college, you know.
Or what the hope of education is for generations that have yet to be born. I mean,
for the next one, right.
And beyond. I mean, it's not like the only thing that counts is right now. You know, I mean, it's so much. Well, you know, Dr. Carter G. Woodson said it best, you know, in the title of his book, you know, the miseducation of the Negro has been a constant thing. You know, not the lack of it, but the miseducation. You know, I'm loving the fact that this is where you're going, you know, in future shows, because I think that that's something that needs to be given, you know, an ample amount of recognized time, right along with the other things, you know, education, personal transformation, you know, mental health. You know, these themes tie together. They're not, you know, separate and apart. They're binding consequences of a required action, you know, and it has to have, you know, a recognized trajectory of expected outcome. You know, whether I go to school all year round or not, whether my child or whether my children's children go to school all year or not, what are they being taught? You know, but like, let me back up, because you said, you know, we're going to be talking more about this in the future. You know, that's one of them things to get my toes wiggling, man. You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you grew up in the middle of it. I mean, you grew up in all of that, in the changes of education and dealing with the disorders of being a Black person in America and trying to get at least the same amount of opportunities that white America had when it came to education.
Or at least an understanding of the consequences. You know, the thing that, like, of the 60s that still kind of rattles my cage a little bit, you know, we have this, you know, romantic historical perspective of the 60s, and we have these names we banter about, and we like to make them the heroes, you know, like they were on the front lines, you know, whether it's, you know, Bobby Seale or Bobby Rush or Eldridge Cleaver or Dr. Huey P. Newton or Medgar Evers, or H. Rapp Brown or Malcolm X or Elijah Muhammad or Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or Ralph Abernathy, you know, Shirley Chisholm or or bring in the black entertainers, or you know, Angela Davis, you know, my girl Nikki Giovanni, you know, my girl. Yeah, I got my heart skips a beat at the mention of her name. You know, anyway, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm tripping. You know, everybody black in the 60s was on the front lines, whether our names were known or not, and whether we were in the South, whether we were in the North, whether we was in Oakland, or whether we was in, you know, New York or D.C., everybody black in the 60s was on the front lines. We were just in the front lines for whatever our environment, wherever our environment cast us. We were dealing with the elements of our immediate surrounding, and we were all were on the front line, and it was the issue of, you know, where do I stand? You know, am I trying to hide? Am I trying to find a voice? Am I trying to find an understanding? Am I trying to find an identity? Am I trying to find a definition of purpose? Everybody black in the 60s was on the front lines. Make no mistake about that. You know, yeah. And there was a consequence as a result, and that consequence was more inner turmoil than outer. You know, moving from, you know, color to Negro to black to Afro to African American, you know, man, you talk about personal transformation, bruh. Yeah, huh. Look here. Yeah, yeah, man. And not having any say-so about the shifting definitions of that, oh, that was an internal struggle, man. You know, they look for external approval, you know, amen.
So, yeah,
yeah.
And a couple, yeah. You know, like I said, in the following shows, because I don't expect this to just be wrapped up in 2 weeks.
Good.
But we'll be looking at that, you know, and talking about
it. Might be able to be wrapped up in 2 weeks if you can shut me up, man. Yeah, just let me mail in my comments, you know. Yeah, right on, man. I love this. I love this, man. I love that we do this, you know. Man, I worry about the hate mail later, man. Man, what a creative energy you are, man. Right on, bro. Uh-oh.
So
I was wondering where he was. Yeah. What's up with that?
Adam,
finally,
a question.
Yeah.
It says, so, Bill, what do you consider yourself now?
Spiritual being having a human experience. All the way. Yeah. Do I need to repeat that?
No, I think I hope you got it. Unless
let me,
you want
let me
to talk good.
Let me type it in, man. I'm a.
I'll tell you what. Adam, I see you just hit the one button. I'm gonna
give you
about.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, bring him on
minutes.
In.
We got
yeah,
5 minutes.
Repeat
left.
That. Tell him. Yeah. Because you know he's gonna start out asking a question.
We got 5 minutes.
Man,
Erico 413. Welcome, Erico 413. Welcome.
I have like three quarters of a page.
You only get one.
and the reason I asked that is because, Bill, you said that you went from Negro to color to black, and you never had
to
say
color to Negro to black to Afro to African American. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and when I said, "What do you consider yourself now?" If someone were to ask you, "What are you?"
Mm-hmm.
How would
yeah,
you
well,
answer
I
that
would
question?
Really confuse them. I would say I'm a Native American.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, at what point can we or do we or are we allowed to define ourselves for who we are or what we are or what we consider ourselves?
Aren't you always doing that, Adam?
I'm a black man. I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. I'm a black man.
Okay, right. But aren't you always redefining yourself?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Just take a look at your own personal life, man.
I was
you
just
know.
About to say, yeah, look at your personal life and what you've accomplished and the titles and things that you served in this country's military. You know, you've gone from being in the Midwest to the East Coast. You know, you've all these
and
other transformations.
Too. And the setbacks. And the setbacks that you've had in life, man, you know.
Yeah.
And you're getting older.
Yeah.
And I'm not older. Yeah.
Not as old as some people on this show.
Here we go.
Yet, you know, but the thing is, one day I die, and then you catch up.
Dang.
You know, yeah. Don't be talking about if he was still alive today, he'd be 114. I don't want to hear that. You stop counting the day I die. You know, that's where it is. It don't continue after I'm gone. You know, yeah. Y'all got to catch up. Well, you cut me off. Now it's your turn to catch up. Eventually, you move to the head of the table. You become the top of the food chain. That's the order of things. Don't be keep continuing with me. You know, go on and catch up, man. Don't be. I'll come down through the clouds. What do you mean I'd have been 114? You know, don't only call me 114 if I am. You know, yeah. I mean, anyway. Sorry, I'm tripping. Yeah.
We'll blame Adam tonight. That's all right.
There you go.
Good to hear your voice again, man. Thanks for calling in.
It was so great listening to you guys and hearing you guys. So, I mean,
just
thank you guys so much.
You've been missed, man. You've been missed.
I've missed you guys. Yeah, I've missed you guys.
Yeah, it's time for us to start getting work on your book, dude.
Yes. And I tried to call in last week, and, of course, the one week I call in, you guys don't have a – there's, you know, you're doing the spring cleaning. Like, of course, the week I want to call in, I call in, there's no show scheduled for 3 weeks. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man.
Will, what did I tell you, Will? It didn't matter how many announcements I put out there. It didn't matter how many formats I tried to use, how many media – sources I tried to include, there was going to be somebody who wasn't going to see none of them, who was just going to call in. And sure enough, there's my man. Adam just called in and it picked that Saturday. Your first time calling in, and I'm spring cleaning. That's perfect, man.
Well, I mean, I literally have, and usually I don't take notes on the show. I'll write down one thing or, you know, I'll write down one or two things, but I literally have like, two-thirds of a page of just like bullet points that you guys were talking about. And it was just, I don't know, I miss you guys. I just really, really miss you guys, and I'm glad I took the time to call in and made the time to call in. So thank you guys so much for everything that you guys do.
Let me back up just for a second. You know, like, depending on what the circumstances call for, you know, I'll be a black man if that's what's required, so you don't call me a white man. You know, if it requires that separation, then absolutely. You know, I'll be a male, you know, before I'll be a female if it requires that separation. You know, a child of God through it all, absolutely. And identified without shame but with purpose if, in fact, the definition that best precedes me is to be recognized as being black. But, of course, the conflict more is society, you know, because how can you be a black man with such light skin? You know, so it's always that challenge, you know, and only in America, you know, a country as color conscious as this one is this the inner struggle, man? So this topic, you know, as innocent as it may sound, is a very controversial thing, you know, personal transformation. You know, does that mean no longer being black? No, it doesn't mean anything like that at all.
You know? But it's about digging really, really deep, and that's the scary part.
Yeah, better believe it.
It's a personal transformation, is that you have to dig deep, and unless you're truly a strong person.
Yeah.
Because it's bringing up all the bad stuff. And
Will said it earlier about you, man. You were a sergeant in the Marines. Shucks.
Yeah.
Right.
But it takes an even stronger person to look at all the bad stuff you have and to find the positive out of it.
Yeah.
And to use the positive to to lift yourself up instead of spiral down with all the negative that you can pick out.
And understanding that you don't get to just pick out the negative without the positive complement to it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's that's what's scary. You mean, yeah, it's not a matter of what do I love most about myself, what do I hate most about myself. No, it's a matter of what do I love most about myself and what do I love least about myself. Get that hate business out of the picture altogether.
I was just about to say, wouldn't it be safe to say that sometimes it's not always about digging deep, and sometimes it's not about labels. It's not about identifying or labeling as hate. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not feeling like you're digging deep. Yeah, you're acknowledging, but it's that, and those are those moments of, that's an example of letting go and not identifying a label. Oh, it happened. Oh, well, you know, if you're able to, you know, and just move on. That was an experience. You know, I've never really. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, there's a danger in acknowledging it and moving on because there's the flypaper effect. You know, we think we've moved on, but we're dragging it behind us. You know, and it reappears when familiar themes resurface. So, you know, moving on doesn't mean necessarily, you know, how can I put it, looking for an amnesic moment. You know, moving on means embracing the dents, the pains, what, you know, the drama, the baggage, you know, all the things that people want to say, you know, I'm drama free, you know, I ain't got no back nuts. You know, if I'm drama free and if I ain't got no baggage, I ain't done much with my life. You know, anyway, that's kind of how I see it.
But so taking that part out of the moving on part, I said, so just still not always having to dig deep. I mean, would you still say that that's a point to consider of not always having those labels?
You only have to dig as deep as recognition requires. If I find what I'm looking for, why keep digging? I might find out what I don't want. I might dig so deep that I uncover somebody else's stuff. I dig as deep as I need to discover who I am at any given moment, you know, and whatever that requires, being willing to dig as deep as it takes to find what it is I'm looking for. And once having found it, what is that thing that says when you, the first law of order is, you know, when I find myself in a hole, stop digging.
Okay. Yeah.
So, man.
So Adam, is you good?
Yes, sir.
You know, appreciate you listening tonight, man. Thank you so much.
Man, yeah, it's great hearing your voice, man.
It's great hearing you guys too. I don't know. I missed you guys. I missed listening to you. I've missed the whole thing. So, thank you.
Welcome back, man. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Wait, let me give you the.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you guys for having me. Let me put it that way. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, well, you know, we've always been here waiting for you, man.
Yeah. I'm back now. I'm back.
All right, that's what's up. And
all right.
So, love
if
you,
there's
man.
Anybody
love
else? You. I'm sorry. What happened?
No, I was just saying, I was just telling Adam I love him.
I love you guys, too. All right, man, yeah.
The whole love thing, my bad.
But again, Adam, thank you so much for kicking it with us again. And again, it's good to hear your voice. And if any of you all, you know, may have missed some shows, you know, a few weeks here and there. I know us being off last week may have. It's funny. Said some. I got a message from Adam. I got a message from another cousin. I got a message from my tribe. I'm like, oh, so y'all choose that one week to listen when we're not there. But if there are shows that you missed. Our shows are saved and archived on Blog Talk Radio's website, as well as other podcast platforms, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and as well as Apple Podcasts. So our shows are saved. So any shows you might have missed or anything like that, you can always go back and listen to previous shows. And Dad and I are always open to, if you want to contact us, if you have any questions, anything you might have listened to on previous shows, feel free to always contact us. Well, I can't speak for Dad, but you can hit me up.
Yeah, you can.
Social media, that's cool.
Yeah, you can. You know, I have to answer to you. So, absolutely. You can speak for me. Yeah.
Shout out as well to our friends in Iowa, K-Dub Radio, kdubradio.com, Orlando and Matt. They also play our shows Wednesdays and Saturdays. So thank you guys for supporting us here at the Greenhouse Effect and Write Your Own Book Club. And, you know, Write Your Own Book Club just spilled right out my mouth, man. I'm sorry. It was just like hot soup. It just came right out of my mouth. So, but, you know, be on the lookout for new shows and check out our previous shows as well, Write Your Own Book Club on Blog Talk Radio. So I enjoyed tonight. Thank you, Dad, because I kind of, you know, had my moments of sharing. You were sharing, too. I really enjoyed this time of talking about my own personal inventory and the spring cleaning that I've gone through these last couple of weeks. Looking forward to the next weeks after this and talking about education and looking at where we are, where we're going in this ever-changing world, you know. Did you have anything in closing as we close things out here?
No, man. Said it all, son. Beautiful job. Land this airplane. Love you, man, and talk to you later.
All right. As he, again, broadcasts from a remote location, Bill Green, ladies and gentlemen, the traveling journalist, the Lions historian. I'm going to have a whole bunch of them, like, you know, like boxers, like Apollo Creed, except you just don't have the ending that he got. But so in closing, I wanted to share a couple of things. Again, just kind of some. So over the weekend, Netflix released this anime of the African samurai. And I was pronouncing his name wrong. So in the movie, they pronounced his name Yakse. And I was saying Yasuke, Yasuke. But anyway, they released this 6-episode series about the African samurai, and I thought it was really cool. As Dad knows, and some of you that are listening, you don't know that I enjoy stories of the samurai. If you've ever seen Ghost Dog with Forrest Whitaker, check that out. Dad and I always get some good chuckles about that movie. But this was a cool series to celebrate somebody that nobody really knew about. There's a book out now called The African Samurai. But like I said, Netflix just released this series out. But just real briefly, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. But I wanted to just give you just a little quick something about this this first foreign-born samurai. And he's black, you know, but you're black, you know. He arrived in Japan in the late 1500s. He had already traveled much of the known world. Kidnapped as a child, he had ended up as a servant and bodyguard to the head of the Jesuits in Asia, with whom he traversed India and China, learning multiple languages as he went. His arrival in hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. However, literally caused a riot. Most Japanese people had never seen an African man before, and many of them saw him as the embodiment of the black skin in local tradition, Buddha. Among those who were drawn to his presence was this head and most powerful clan in Japan, and he made Yakse a samurai in his court. Soon he was learning the traditions of Japan's martial arts and ascending the upper echelon of Japanese history. So this is like 400 or so, you know, years ago plus that this guy is a legend, you know, and perhaps even like this mystical figure. The story on Netflix talks about his time after his master, if you will, the head of the clan, committed seppuku, and they had lost to a warring clan. And the warring clan, they took the brother, but they didn't kill him because he wasn't Japanese. So they let him go, and he just became this ronin or this samurai without a master. And the series on Netflix kind of goes into an anime. It's an anime. So there's some, it's not like this is going to be like regular stuff. It's like this Japanese anime with these high-flying graphics and monsters and big birds and stuff like that. But it's really cool story. And I know one thing I enjoy with you, Dad, is encouraging people to write their own story. So here was this opportunity to hear this story about this unknown black man who was a samurai warrior in early Japanese society. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, so check it out. I started the show a little, and I would be remiss if we didn't talk about our friends, the Wolves. If you're not familiar with it, so one day this old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He told him, "The fight is going on inside me, and it's a terrible fight. It's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego, not the healthy ego." The old Cherokee continued, "The other wolf is good. He's joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The same fight, the grandfather continued, is going on inside you and inside every other person too. And the grandson thought about it for a minute, and he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the one you feed." So again, I wanted to say thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening tonight to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. We will be live back next Thursday, God willing. We'll keep things going here. So look towards our discussion about education. Again, thank you for allowing me and Dad to speak to you tonight, for sharing our moments about personal transformation in our spring cleaning. And we still got more to do. It's always work in progress or work in process. But until next week, please stay safe. Please stay blessed. Keep that mask up. And until next week, wish you all a good night.